podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Trampled Bet podcast for the weekend of Saturday, April 1st, 2023. We are back after a short break for the internationals. No value in doing a podcast that covers global club football when there aren't any games on. So we are back after a one-week break, but a very busy time in general with the Cheltenham Festival quickly following last week's podcast. So there's a lot to discuss. We'll recap what went on, I guess, a fortnight ago in terms of our regular football podcast. Joining me, as always, we have Gordo. How are you doing, Gordo?
I'm excellent. I am truly excellent. And you, Andy?
Very good. Very good indeed. And with us this week, regular co-host, Mr. Joey Slenzak. How are you, Joey?
Hey, guys. I'm doing well. It's great to be back on the pod.
Doing well. Not as good as me and Gordon that saw Scotland beat Spain last night. 2-0.
Incredible.
It's a hell of a result.
Wouldn't have put a singular penny on that result.
A lot of people did put money on Bet365 Superboost, which was John McGinn to have a shot on target, which they paid out on in the early into the second half when he took a direct free kick that looked like it was heading to the underside of the bar, collided with keeper and bar. Brilliant. Paid out. 2-1. Wonderful. Within half an hour, they dipped back into everyone's account, taken the money out, resettled it as a loser, and sent some generic bullshit email and notification to everyone, and Twitter went wild. Their excuse, they operate on Opta data. What are they doing paying out in the first place then? Why not wait until Opta have made an announcement on whether it's a shot on target or not? They pissed a lot of people off yesterday. And I do know, like, we don't have an affiliation to any bookmaker, but we do use Bet365's prices a lot as a guide. And that's because I would honestly say they're the best bookmaker. But things like this, they need to be called out when they get something wrong, and they fucked it up yesterday.
Yeah, that was not great. And speaking of not great, we'll get to cover my results from 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Over the next thing. I donutted, which is a rarity, a true rarity. Almost, I think I've maybe donutted less than I've hit 4 of 4, which is good.
Overall or recently?
Oh, I would say in the last two seasons. I'd say the original season, I probably donutted more. Because I think at the start, I was picking like 3 value picks to submit as opposed to like a structure with having a banker in there. So, but yeah, so it was, we went through the rest of our hosts for picks.
We can run through it quickly.
Let's wrap it.
As we usually do. I took Dortmund as my banker bet at home to Cologne at odds of 4-9. So better than 1-2 for a banker. They won 6-1 and it paid out after 17 minutes when they went 2-0 up. So that's like perfect.
Doesn't get better than that. Doesn't get worse than losing your banker. Ternana versus Barry. I take Barry or draw. The only result I wouldn't have liked was anything to do with a Ternana win. And Ternana won this game 1-0, scored early in the first half. One of those games where just like there was 10 bookings between the two teams. Like it was just clearly a fight after that. Really disappointing to have that because it was 4-9. And I thought, and considering the our other host, Dave, and did you want to talk about his?
Yeah, he took Arsenal to beat Palace at 2-7. 4-1 win for Arsenal, paid out after 43 minutes. Job done. So there was mine and Dave's in, just waiting on you because you were the Sunday game.
Yep.
And let it
been
down.
Coming.
But then we went on to the value picks. I was in Japan. I love the J1 League. Hiroshima versus Kashiwa Reysol, took the home win at 7-10. This was a game Hiroshima dominated, deserved to win, got the goal, although it did come in the final 10 minutes. So they won 1-0 and my value pick came in. Chris Kelly was the guest that took the value slot on last show. He picked Napoli to win away at Torino. At odds of 3-4. They won 4-0, paid out after 35 minutes. Tremendous stuff. So again, we were 2-for-2, waiting on Gordon on Sunday.
Yes. So this was Mainz versus Freiburg. Ended a 1-each draw, but doesn't even really get you the 1-each draw, all were close thing, because Mainz scored in the 90th plus 6. They did have a goal chopped off in the first half, But it was rightly chopped off. The guy handballed it. It was 1-0 to Freiburg for most of the game, and Mainz clawed a goal back. So disappointing there to let down the value double at that point and into a treble. But and even more disappointing because Chris gave us two picks and he was like, pick whichever one you want. And both of his won. I selected one and lost.
Well, I sent you guys, because I back the show's picks. I don't just back my own. And I sent round in the group that morning, here's two out, we're two in on the banker treble and two in the value treble. Gordon gets his picks in, I'm 400 quid up or something.
Yes.
Yeah, got neither. Done me.
Yeah, that was it. That was less good.
I think I had a zero for 4 weeks, maybe, what was it, 5 weeks ago or something? It's not fun.
I empathize.
Cat. On to the outsiders. I was in the German Bundesliga for a game I called just completely incorrectly, Hoffenheim versus Hertha. I thought Hertha were on a wee bit of a run. Could nick something away here, odds of 11-4. They lost this game 3-1. I think they were 3-0 down before Hoffenheim then got a man sent off. So it was never close. But, you know, back in 3-1 shots, they're not going to come every time, but you'd like to think they'd be a bit closer than that.
Yeah, I was on a similar line, to be honest. This was Sutirol versus Spal. I took this game as a draw. Sutirol won it 2-0. Another really impressive. Two goals by a defender in Giuseppe Zarro, who is a guy who was an absolute lock-in for a card last year. He's 13 yellow cards of 15 games played. Him and Ryan Edwards could hang out together, couldn't they? Sutirol are on a tear at the moment. Shouldn't have taken them anywhere near that for it to be in a draw there. And they obliged by beating Spal. So no draw for me, which led us on to our outsider.
Well, it led us on to Joey. And Joey's here if he wants to give a quick recap of what happened. Or I can do it for you, Joey, if you'd rather not talk about it.
It's painful to talk about. But no, I did watch about 75% of it at least. That was a tough one. I had Anderlecht and Cercle Bruges to draw.
It was Leuven, I think.
No, it wasn't Cercle Bruges, it was Leuven. Sorry, I had that in a
You were thinking
week,
of thinking of another shit matchup. Team in Belgium.
Oh man. But no, I still can't trust Anderlecht right now. I'm not really sold on this whole recent uptick in form. Yes, it's justified. They've kept three clean sheets in their last three matches. But yeah, I figured it'd be a draw. And it was 1-0 going into, I think it was like the 82nd minute, something like that. And then Anderlecht just caught Leuven on the break and buried that 2-0 to put it out of reach. But yeah, that was a tough one up until about the 80th minute. Yeah, that was about what I was expecting. And then
it was close. It was still in with the shout until very near the end. So they're outsiders for a reason. On to the charity treble. We take a tenner of our own money every week. We get a pick from the three people that are on the show. And we put it on a treble. All the money goes to the charity of our choosing. I didn't get my charity pick in this week. I took Watford up to Wigan and they absolutely dominated the game, having 17 shots to 6. With a goal up, the game ended 1-1. Shame. No good. It didn't matter because actually the first charity pick in Jerome's absence was Shishkin at the Cheltenham Festival to win his race, and he didn't. He hit the second last fence that got at some speed. And still managed to come second.
Yeah.
It still managed to come second, but it was already done. So I didn't feel too badly about that.
I did feel bad about my charity loss because they were two up with like 10 minutes to go. This was Le Havre versus Saint-Étienne. And Le Havre were 2-0 up and then conceded a goal. Fine. Saint-Étienne got a man sent off. So you're like, right, they've lost the head. And then Saint-Étienne scored with 10 men to make this game 2-2. So yeah, an offer and a very deserving offer. I wasn't even really that close. I mean, the Saint-Étienne one, yeah, but the rest of them, no mileage.
And of course, that's a league that isn't even included in Bet365 early payout offer. I mean, that includes tens of leagues. It's loads of leagues. It must be like close to 40 leagues that includes. That's not one of them. It's unfortunate.
And you'll be looking forward to hearing my charity bet this week.
Excellent. Well, it was a mixed week. Two out of three bankers, two out of three values. You know, we're getting the top end of the stuff. We just need to make that 3 out of 3 this week. And with the break off, we've had time to recharge,
reflect,
pretty confident. Reflect, pretty confident. We'll have a good week this week. Before we get to this week's picks, the main meat of the podcast, thank you to everyone that's joined up to our Patreon. We've had a surge of new members. So you can give something back to the podcast. Support us by becoming a member of the Trample Bet Club on Patreon for £6 a month. It's patreon.com/tramplebet, or just download the Patreon app, which is an excellent app, and search for Trample Bet. For that £6, you get loads of extra stuff. You get the early release of this podcast as a video. So as soon as we finish recording, you're able to watch that a couple of days before it's released to the general public on the podcast channels. You get a special middle section. So while we're coming up for a break on the normal podcast, the three of us will shoot the breeze, talk about picks that we like for the weekend, talk about sports betting in general, and just have a chit-chat about things we like for the weekend that didn't make the main show. So you get that. And you also get the cheat sheet, which is all the main picks from the podcast written down in a handy cheat sheet format, just a JPEG you can pull up on your phone from app. So you don't need to carry a pen or try and remember which one of the picks from the podcast or which few you particularly liked for your weekend's betting. On top of that, you also get a load of extra content in the form of special shows for Patreon-only members. We have had a very busy time earlier this month for the Cheltenham Festival. Gordon and I released our preview for the upcoming Major League Baseball season yesterday. So that is brand new, hot off the press, sitting there for members of the Trample Bet Club. And there'll be plenty more to come. I think up next is the US Masters, the first of golf's four majors, which starts next week on Thursday, April 6th. So we will be doing a preview show of that with the best bets, in our opinion, for the Masters tournament. We really appreciate all our Patreon members. Thank you to all of you who already subscribe. And a shout out and massive thanks to Bruce, George, Josh, and Jorge, who have all joined in the past couple of weeks. So thank you, guys. The more the merrier. Please do come joining us. That's it for the first half of the show. Enjoy the break. We'll be back with next week's pick. Welcome back, and now on to this week's picks for the weekend of Saturday, April 1st, 2023. Same as always from us, a banker pick from each of us, a value pick, and an outsider pick. We wrap it all up with one pick from each of us to go on a charity treble, £10 of our own money on that treble, and any return, including the stake if it wins, go to a charity that we'll announce on next week's show. So I will kick us off with my banker bet of the weekend. A late one for me, Sunday at 5 p.m. in the Italian Serie A for AS Roma versus Sampdoria. And the home win for Roma is better than one, no, just worse than 1-2. It's 4-9. So Roma are in fifth spot in the league at the moment, 47 points from 27 games. The top four get a Champions League place at the end of the season. They're only 1 point behind fourth place AC Milan. So they've everything to play for here, and they really need points. Sampdoria have really struggled this season. They're second bottom of the league. They're only in 15 points from 27 games, a whole 9 points away from safety. Roma should be winning here. A home game against a team that's second bottom and looks nailed on for relegation. It should be a simple 3 points. So Roma are my banker for the weekend. 4-9.
Nice one. I have a ridiculous banker, I think. Price-wise, certainly.
Ridiculously good, hopefully.
It's ridiculously bad banker. I'll be taking. This is top of La Liga versus bottom. So it's Barcelona versus Elche. Barcelona have played... Barcelona have played 26 games this season. How many goals have they conceded?
18.
Andy, do you want to take? You're not getting higher or lower. You've got to pick a number.
I can't just take the over or under on that.
You can't take the over or under.
26 games, like, how many goals have they conceded? 14.
9.
Oh.
Wow. Now, Elche have conceded 51 goals. Right?
It's a lot of goals.
It's a lot of goals. Why are you getting the La Liga 12-point leaders, 12 points ahead of Real Madrid, away at Elche at 4-11?
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I have to say.
I'll do. That's good Joey, enough.
What you got?
That's fair. Yeah. No, for my my banker, I'm sure to be the last pick of the weekend. And I like Kargumruk at Istanbulspor. And I like over 2.5 at 1.6. That's going to be at 6:30 p.m. on Monday. Get the week off.
We're recording next week's podcast at the same time. That's cool.
That was the plan. We're going to be watching it in the background and then
as you're reading your results,
score all of these three goals. Yeah. So Kargumruk and Istanbulspor have two of the top four highest goal per match outputs in the league, at 4.08 and 3.13 respectively. And a lot of that comes down to the two different types of teams they are. Kargumruk has they've scored the third most goals in the entire league, whereas Istanbulspor have conceded the most goals in the entire league. So that's kind of how we got to top four goals per match. Kargumruk because they're scoring them, Istanbul because they're conceding them. And Kargumruk have seen over 2.5 in 13 of their last 15 overall and 10 of their last 12 away matches, while Istanbulspor have seen over 2.5 in 7 of their last 8 overall and 11 of 14 home matches this season in all competitions. And that translates to 8 of 11 home matches in the league. Home and away splits are going to be key here because Istanbulspor is conceding about the same home and away, 23 at home, 25 away from home. But they've scored 15 of their 27 goals at home in the 11 matches at home versus 14 away from home. Or 13 versus only 12 and 13 away matches. Kargumruk has the third most potent offense in the league, like I talked about, and they could even cover that total on their own. But I could very well see Istanbulspor kind of getting in on the fun. So I think this is a good spot. I wouldn't be surprised if there's over 3.5 just the way that Kargumruk plays, but 2-1 at the very least. And I wouldn't be surprised if Kargumruk grabs a third.
Nice one.
Okay, no, that's pretty big price banker there at odds of 4-6 currently. And you take Roma to win.
2-3?
4-6. You take Roma to win at 4-9, Barcelona at 1-3, and over 2.5 goals in Istanbulspor versus Fatih Karagümrük, 4-6. That combines to 2.2-1, which is pretty tasty. Over 2-1 for the banker treble this weekend. On to the value picks. My value pick, 2:30 p.m. on Saturday. So you'll be able to guess that means I'm in the German Bundesliga for Union Berlin versus Stuttgart. Union remain in third place in the Bundesliga table, 48 points from 25 matches. Hell of a season they're having. Just 5 points behind first place Borussia Dortmund. They are now 19 matches in a row unbeaten at home. It dates back all the way to a Europa League group stage game against Belgian team Royal Union SG on the 8th of September last year. So they've been unbeaten at home, 90 games in a row since then. It wasn't even a domestic game, so it's the run stretches back further than that. Stuttgart are dead last in the table. They've got 20 points from their 25 matches. But what I really like is they've also struggled away from home this year. They've got just 5 points from 12 away games in total. So not only do I really like the matchup here in terms of the club's respective league standings, but the home away split is perfect. Union, brilliant as a home team. Stuttgart, terrible as an away team. You're getting Union here at 11-10. So better than evens for a Union win, which I think is excellent value. So Union Berlin are my value pick this weekend.
Sticking with the 11-10 theme, although at various bookmakers, this is a kind of, it's even money, it's under evens, it's over evens. So why change a winning formula? And I'm going to pick my losing charity pick from last week or 2 weeks ago, Le Havre to beat Pau. So Le Havre are playing away and Pau are at home. Basically the same spot that Saint-Étienne are in, although they drew 2 each. Le Havre were up and 2-0 in that game. However, they may be in the same points total. So Saint-Étienne are on 33 points. And so are their this week's opponents, Pau. But Saint-Étienne have scored 20 more goals than Pau have. And they've conceded another 10 on top of that as well. So very different game going into this one. Le Havre are the best away team in the league, taking 25 points from 14 games. You look at Pau, they're the 16th best team out of a 20-team league, taking 17 points from their 13 home games this season. Le Havre have just been have been really good when they've been playing away from home here. They've drawn 3 of the last 5 games, which is not a concern, but they've been playing against kind of better teams than this. They've been playing teams that have kind of parachuted out the top tier, Metz, Saint-Étienne in there, to name them. And when they've played teams that are, you know, of lower quality, that they've dealt with them. Pau have picked up 2 wins in the last 2 games. These are against Dijon and Niort, though, who are both pretty bad. And they've both been 1-0 wins, where the other team got a man sent off. So slightly flattering them here. You'll get Le Havre at 11-10 or 8-7. Or if you hate money, even money on Unibet.
So even, I'm looking at Bet365 just now, 23-20. So even better than 11-10.
Yeah, well, fantastic. Yeah, so, yeah, I really like Le Havre in this spot here. And although it seems like they're playing the same kind of outfit that they managed to draw 2 each against, that's kind of a freak result. They were 2-0 up. So, yes. Joey, where are we value-wise?
Yeah, so for my value pick, I'm going to be in Australia, one of my favorite leagues on the planet. I'll go on record saying that. And for this one, we've got Wellington Phoenix hosting Melbourne Victory. And I like under 0.5 goals. And that's on Saturday at 3 a.m. And April Fools, I don't like 0 goals in that game. I actually like a Wellington Phoenix win at 2.4, kind of boosting the odds a little bit there. Wellington sit fifth on 31 points, scoring 34 goals, conceding 33, while Melbourne Victory sit bottom of the league on 21 points, scoring 23 goals and conceding 27. Again, home and away splits is going to be really key here, with Wellington picking up 19 of 31 points at home, scoring 21 goals, conceding 16, while Melbourne Victory have only picked up 8 points in their last 10 away matches, scoring 8 goals, conceding 15. So there was a brief period back in February where Melbourne kind of looked like they were starting to turn the corner, kind of starting to figure things out, where they picked up 2 wins and a draw. But since those matches, their last 3, they've lost 2 of those. And if you look at Victory's last 13 matches overall, they've lost 8, drawn 2, and won 3, but only 1 point was taken away from home. 3 of those wins and 1 of those draws were at home. Mm-hmm. Conversely, Wellington have won 8 of the last 13 overall, with only 1 of their 4 losses coming up. So a lot of Wellington's issues and struggles have come on the road as well. The home side has actually won 7 straight times when these sides go head-to-head. And Wellington has won 4 of the last 5 meetings at home. Combine that with the fact that Wellington have won 4 of their last 6 home matches, while Victory have actually lost 6 of their last away matches. And this should be a great spot for the Knicks to get a little bit of revenge for that 3-1 loss at Amy Park back in February in the reverse fixture. And so where I kind of had a little bit of trepidation here, I was kind of going back and forth. I really love a Wellington Phoenix first half goal. And you can get that at 1.88-ish, 1.87, 1.88, which I think is massive value and phenomenal value, especially in this spot. So that's kind of why I like to keep this in the value slot. But obviously I'm fully expecting Wellington to go on and win the game.
Yeah.
But going back to that first half goal, Wellington have scored in the first half at 7 of their last 8 overall and 8 of their last 9 at home. While Victory have conceded a first half goal in 8 of their last 10 overall and 6 straight away matches. Wellington are just that team that tries to get on you quick and early. And while it's a little dicey whether or not they'd be able to take that lead into the first half, when I'm obviously expecting them to score. So I don't necessarily hate the halftime full-time line at over 2-1. I think it's actually over 3.5-ish. But for the sake of just trying to get a winner, and at the end of the day, I was kind of worried, okay, well, maybe victory kind of can equalize in the first half, and then we get something cagey in the second half. But I fully expect Wellington Phoenix to go on and basically just run the tables on them. I think this is a really good spot for them.
Nice. So a Wellington Phoenix win is your selection in there. Yeah, yes, I don't think it's with halftime, full-time markets. That's an Andy game. And it almost ensures a 46th minute goal, doesn't it?
So many times. The team that are about to be leading at halftime, it's a draw at halftime, and they score within the first 5 minutes of the second half. All the time. But yeah, so the value treble this week is wins for Union Berlin, Le Havre, and Wellington Phoenix. And right now at Bet365, that works out at 9.57-1. So just under 10-1 for the value treble this weekend. On to the outsiders, and this is where we try and find something that we like the look of, a winner, obviously. We like the look of the chances of them winning, but the bookies have them priced up as an underdog. Mine is early on Saturday morning at 7 a.m., so we're in the Japanese top flight, the J1 league, for Sagan Tosu versus FC Tokyo. It's still early days in the 2023 Japanese J-League season. We've only had 5 game weeks completed, so each team's played 5 times. Tokyo have managed 8 points so far, while Sagan Tosu have managed 4. Although Sagan Tosu have had a very tough run of fixtures playing some of the league's better clubs. What I really like here is the fact that Sagan Tosu are at home, so they're the team I'll be backing, and also their odds at 19-10. They're a home underdog in this spot. And the reason I like it is if you look at the previous head-to-head record, the advantage really sits with Sagan Tosu, who have beaten Tokyo the last 7 times the sides have met in a row. So 4 times at home and 3 times away. Last 7 times, doesn't matter where this game is played, ever since 2019, Sagan Tosu have just beaten FC Tokyo. It's a very dominant record. And as they're the home team here, and it's early days in the season, I think 19-10 is a very good price.
No problemo. Okay, I'll take it.
Head-to-head record, man. Like, it's just, they just beat them.
I mean, I'm happy. I give you shit about 19-10, but I went 0-4, so I'm just going to get on with my pick. I'm not going to nick Joey's joke because he did it much better than me, but yes, you'll be a fool not to pick on my outsider. This is Fiorentina away to Inter Milan, and I fancy Fiorentina to get 3 points right off them at 15-4. So why?
It's huge.
First of all.
Yeah, why?
This is Inter's injury list. Bastoni's out, Calhanoglu's out, D'Ambrosio got red carded, Dalbert, Robin Gosens and Martin Skriniar are all out injured. This is their last 5 results. A 1-0 loss to Juventus, drawing 0-0 with FC Porto, losing 2-1 to Spezia, beating Lecce, well done boys, and losing 1-0 to Bologna. Here is Fiorentina's last 5 matches.
So disingenuous, that was wonderful.
Beating Lecce 1-0. Exactly the same. Fine, that's required. Beating Sivasspor in the Europa Conference League 4-1. Beating Cremonese 2-0. Beating AC Milan 2-1. In their last 6 games, or 7 games, they've won on the spin. Their last loss was a 1-0 loss to Juventus a wee while back. In their last 10 games, they've won 9, drawn 1. Fiorentina in a really good spot now, and they're finding form in this league. They are the team. They are the form team in this league. I just really fancy them here. Inter haven't been great. They've taken 6 points from the last 5 games in the league. I think Fiorentina have got a much better chance here. The head-to-head records between the two teams, they favour Inter. They favour Inter because Inter are traditionally the better team here. But they're pretty close. So it was a 4-3 win for Inter at Fiorentina, a 1-1 draw at Inter the last time they played. And you've got games that are kind of just between 1 and 2 goals out. I just think this is the time for Fiorentina to get something off them. They don't have any energy concerns, injury concerns. A lot of the guys were playing European football for their club teams, their national teams. But not enough. The most of their squad is Italian, but not good enough to play for the Italian national team, where Inter have quite a few guys who are actually out there doing it. Yeah, 15-4, 7-2, 4-1, Unibet. Should you wish to pick any of these numbers and stick with it? So, I really fancy Fiorentina here. I was going to take them on the double chance, but that guarantees them going up 2-0. So I'll just let them win after they're up 2-0 at 15-4. Joey, where are we? What do you fancy for Spice?
Yeah, that two goal early payout must be really nice. I have no idea.
No access.
Yeah, a little harder over here. That's why I like the double chance. Yeah. So no, I don't hate that at all. No, for my outsider, hopefully I can get this monkey off my back. But I'm gonna go with Freiburg to win plus both teams to score, and that's at 3.7. That's gonna be on Saturday at 2:30 p.m. So Freiburg stood fourth on 46 points, scoring 38 goals, conceding 34, while Hertha Berlin are down in 16th place, the first relegation spot, on 21 points, and they're only 1 point away from safety, scoring 30 goals, conceding 48. Freiburg are fighting to hold on to the last Champions League spot and have only lost twice in their last 22 home matches this season, while Hertha Berlin, as we talk about it, are in a bit of a relegation scrap, but they've lost 10 of their last 16 away matches this season. So the whole Freiburg win, Hertha loss, that's a moot point. Hopefully that's a cert. But where it gets interesting is that Hertha have only been held scoreless 3 times in their last 12 away matches, and 7 of their 10 losses away from home have seen both teams to score. And then where it gets really, really fun is that Freiburg have actually seen both teams to score in 11 of their last 12 home matches in all competitions. And the only one they didn't see both teams to score in was the 2-0 loss to Juventus in the Champions League. So it's not like it was because they kept a clean sheet. But 5 of their last 7 home Bundesliga wins have actually been wins plus both teams to score. And so they've had 8 wins in 12 home league matches. 5 of those 8 were wins plus both teams to score. And then in the last 9 meetings between these sides at Freiburg, there's been both teams to score in 8 of those 9. 8 of those 9 with 4 Freiburg wins plus both teams to score in the last 6 meetings at Freiburg. So yeah, Hertha are kind of needing to score, and I don't think they're going to be getting any points from keeping this 0-0. So it's going to be trying to punch with the heavyweights and not going to work out well for them.
I really like that pick. I really like it at 11-4. I think that's a very good pick, Joey. So the outsiders for this week are as follows: Sagan Tosu to beat FC Tokyo, Fiorentina to win away at Inter Milan, an SC Freiburg to beat Hertha Berlin with both teams scoring in that game. I always take these as a tricksy, so I just need 2 out of the 3, but if you wanted all 3 straight up, 50.65-1. That's big. That is big for an outsider treble. They're the show's main picks. We have the small matter, or not the small matter, the large matter, of our charity treble for this weekend, which I believe I will be backing after didn't get it in last week. Saturday at 3 p.m. in the Scottish Championship is where I find myself in Greenock for Morton versus Inverness. I kind of wanted to pick Inverness as my outsider here. I think they've got a great shot at winning this game at odds of 13-5. And I really do think that there's a good chance they'll pick up all 3 points here. But instead of the straight up win, I'm going to take them on the double chance. So draw or Inverness win here. The sides are next to each other in the league table. Morton are in 5th on 43 points. Inverness just a place behind in 6th on 39 points. This is a big game. Both teams are pushing for a top 4 finish. That would put them into the promotion playoffs. So a chance at getting up into the Premier League, but you need to finish in that top 4. if you look at Morton's previous form or results, they tend to go through hot and cold spells, and it seems like they're currently on one of their colder spells. They've not won in their last four games. Inverness, though, have won three of their last five games. They picked up a draw and narrowly lost 2-1 away at league leaders Queen's Park. So that makes up their five games, three wins, a draw, and a loss. But interestingly, in their last four league games have all been against sides that are above them. Partick Thistle, Queen's Park, Ayr, Dundee. This, with Morton, would mean they're in sixth place. There are only five teams ahead of them. They will have played every single team above them in the league in a row. Talk about strength of schedule. That's really hard. And they've come out of it pretty well. And in the middle of that, they also played a Premier League team. They played Kilmarnock in the Scottish Cup and they beat them. So they've actually, you know, their form might not look that impressive. Three wins, a draw and a loss, but it's all against sides that are somehow ranked higher than them. Statistically, that's just very unlikely, but that's what they've had to put up with, and they've come through it with aplomb, and they're still in the hunt, which is why I actually really like them here to get a result. So I think, you know, they're a team that are showing a lot of fight just now. They're getting big results and big games against teams that they're competing with. I fancy them to get something away at Morton here. And the double chance is actually pretty highly priced. It's 4-5, so just under even money.
Nice one. Can't give you a tight because my charity is a much lower price than that. sounds a good pick in there. I am in the CRB, which is the early payout league. And this is on Friday night, so this will be the first pick of the week.
Bold, so bold.
Very bold, but I think I have good reason to be involved. This is Genoa versus Regina, and I fancy home win for Genoa here at the odds of 3-5, 7-11, 4-6. Other areas you can get it at. So
13-20 on 365 just now.
13-20, yes.
All so, the numbers.
All the just all. Pick some numbers, put them together. You might.
That's number one.
That is number one. Let's talk about Genoa versus Regina. The two teams have scored the exact same amount of goals. They've both scored 39 goals. Genoa have managed to turn their 39 goals into 56 points, whereas Regina have managed to turn theirs into 42. And it's about the concession of goals here. It's not really about scoring them. Genoa have conceded a league-low 19 goals this season, whereas Regina has conceded 35. So they just haven't been good at keeping the ball out of the net. Regina have had a really poor run of form recently, losing 7 of their last 8 games, with the only win being in there against Modena. They lost 4-0 last week to Cagliari, who are in a similar spot to Genoa, having just came out of the Italian top division the last year. Genoa are the total opposite to that. They are handing out doings at the moment. They beat Brescia 3-0. They beat Cosenza 4-0. They beat Spal 3-0. They drew 0-0 with Cagliari in there. And they beat Ternana 1-0, which Barry couldn't do. Anyway... I just think Genoa are going to beat Regina on Friday night. They'll probably do it 2-3-0. You'll get early paid out on this one. Regina's away form isn't good. They don't have much head-to-head form because they're rarely in the same leagues together. But if you would like 2008's 4-0 win to Genoa to come true, join me on Friday night at 7:30 and we'll see it happen again. So I'll be taking Genoa at home to Regina as my charity pick, 7-11, and various other numbers. Joey, how do you round out our week?
All right. So to round out the charity trouble, I'm going to be back in France. Well, I don't know if I should say back in France, but I'll be in France. and I like PSG, both teams to score plus over 2.5. You can get that around evens. I guess I say back to France because I know the last time we visited Paris, both teams to score, it was a little bit less than ideal result.
Less than ideal, but we're over that.
So PSG sit top of the table on 66 points, scoring 68 goals, conceding 28, while Lyon sit on 41 points, scoring 43, conceding 32. PSG have seen both teams to score in 15 of 28 league matches overall, so it's about 54%. While Lyon have seen it in 18 of their 28, about 64%. But common theme for this week is home and away splits. And when you look at PSG at home, that 54% jumps up to 64% for 9 of their 14 home matches in the league. And with Lyon, that 64% jumps up to 71% with 10 of their 14 away matches being both teams to score. PSG have only kept 2 clean sheets in their last 12 home matches, while Lyon have seen both teams to score in over 2.5 in 4 straight away matches and 6 of their last 9 away matches. PSG have seen both teams to score in 8 of their last 12 overall, while Lyon have seen both teams to score in 8 of their last 9 overall. So obviously the both teams to score aspect is, we're not going to call it a moot point because it is important, but it's kind of a key factor in this whole thing. But I think just looking at these two teams, I mean, you've got Mbappe and Messi. Unfortunately, Neymar's out, but those two have been really shouldering the load. And with talent like that on the PSG side, you could definitely see them getting 2 goals. But the key here for me is going to be the return of Alexander Lacazette for Lyon. He's kind of basically their talisman in like every true sense of the word. He's scored 11 goals in across 8 of his last 9 starts. So he scored 11 goals in his last 9 starts, only blinking once. And funny enough, he recently got injured, so that's why it's key that he's back. He's technically scored in 5 straight starts. The 3 matches before he got injured and the 2 matches after he got it or returned. So it's not like this guy's missing too much. And obviously having them back in the fold has been a massive boost for them. I mean, recently they just played Lille away from home and they tied 3-3. I mean, obviously Lille and PSG are two different calibers, but yeah, I would fully expect more of that. And looking at PSG this season, they've kept 13 clean sheets in the league. 8 of those clean sheets came away from home. So they've only kept 5 clean sheets at home. Potent striker and all the talent on the field. Yeah, just give me all the goals.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great way to round out the budget. Just give me all the goals. Just give me all the goals.
We don't care about the winner. We just want both teams to score and for there to be over 2.5 goals.
I just want some people to get some good entertainment value this weekend.
Fantastic. So the charity treble for this week is draw or Inverness Caledonian Thistle in their game against Morton, a win for Genoa against Regina, and over 2.5 goals in both teams to score in the Paris Saint-Germain versus Lyon match. The treble works out at 4.79 to 1. So should that be a winner, we'll have £57.98 to go to charity next weekend. That's it. That's the show. That's the podcast. We do have a Facebook group, everyone. I know a lot of you will already be members there. Just search Trample Bet Podcast on Facebook. Ask to join the group. Get involved with the conversation. We're obviously all members of that group, but we have a great community of a couple of hundred people as well, all talking about the bets they like for this weekend across a multitude of sports. Absolutely free to join. If you do want to give something back to the show, mentioned it earlier, join us on Patreon, become a member of the Trample Bet Club. And you'll get the cheat sheet for this weekend. So that's all the picks, all 12 picks, 4 from each of us, written down. So you need to remember what's been going on. Gordo, Joy, anything else before we wrap this up?
I'll see everyone Friday night for some sweet, sweet Genoa action.
There we go.
Go DCFD. Big home match against Rio Grande.
Best of luck. Thank you to everyone for listening. Gordo, Joey, it's been a pleasure. Enjoy your weekend and best of luck, folks. Happy hunting.
Bye.
The Trample Bet Podcast is produced by Andy Vaughan, Gordon McLarnon and Gary Black. Part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. Find the next show you'll love at sports-social.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.